What if you could build a computer chip just 1 nanometer thick? Or make structural materials 10 times stronger than steel, but keep them flexible? This isn't science fiction. These breakthroughs were announced this week, signaling a massive shift for manufacturers and tech firms. The question is, are you ready for it? Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology that's reshaping industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, we're tracking a surge in nanotechnology development that's moving from the lab to the production line. We'll start with graphene's big industrial breakthrough in transportation. Then, we'll analyze the global race to replace silicon, with major US, European, and Asian players making huge bets on two-dimensional materials. Finally, we'll cover a new class of supermaterials that defies the classic trade-off between strength and flexibility. Let's get started. Troy, let's begin with graphene. It's been called a miracle material for years, but tangible commercial deals have been rare. This week, that changed, with a major name in the European rail industry.
It did. On July 21st, Graphene Manufacturing Group, or GMG, signed a global exclusive memorandum of understanding with Alstom, a world leader in rail transport. They're co-developing graphene products specifically for heating, ventilation, and air conditioning systems, or HVAC.
HVAC systems? That sounds surprisingly practical. Not exactly a moonshot application.
It's the definition of practical, and that's why it's significant. HVAC units are a major source of energy consumption and maintenance costs on rolling stock. GMG's technology leverages graphene's exceptional thermal conductivity and corrosion resistance. The goal is to make heat exchangers more efficient and durable, directly lowering energy use and extending the lifespan of components.
So for a European manufacturer like Alstom, this is about efficiency and a competitive edge. What does this mean for the wider manufacturing sector in the US and Europe?
For manufacturers, this is a clear signal. The opportunity is to integrate graphene-enhanced coatings and materials into components that require high thermal performance or operate in harsh environments. Think radiators, heat sinks, and protective coatings. The competitive threat is for companies who ignore this. As energy efficiency standards tighten, components using older, less efficient materials will be at a disadvantage.
And what's the takeaway for trading companies and distributors in this space?
They need to secure supply chains for industrial-grade graphene. We're also seeing a strategic push for domestic production. On July 23rd, Hydrograph Clean Power announced it's advocating for graphene to be designated a critical U.S. material and is planning a large-scale production facility in Texas. For distributors, this means vetting new reliable domestic suppliers like Hydrograph to offer to their manufacturing clients.
So what's the actionable insight for an executive listening now?
They should be initiating pilot projects. Identify a product line where corrosion or thermal efficiency is a key performance indicator. Engage with a supplier like GMG or a domestic producer to test graphene-enhanced prototypes. The validation from Alstom means the risk is lower, and the time to start is now.
Let's move from industrial materials to the heart of the tech industry, the semiconductor. Silicon is hitting a wall, and this week we saw a major announcement from the world's biggest chip makers about what comes next.
That's right. A July 19th report confirmed that a consortium including Europe's IMEC, TSMC, Intel, and Samsung are all aggressively pursuing atomically thin, two-dimensional transistors to sustain Moore's Law. They are moving beyond silicon and focusing on materials like molybdenum disulfide, or MOS2.
Atomically thin? What problem does that solve that a 3D silicon chip can't?
It solves the problem of leakage. As silicon transistors shrink, electrons start to leak out, wasting power and generating heat. This is known as the short channel effect. 2D materials, which are just a few atoms thick, provide superior electrostatic gate control. This means the transistor can be switched on and off much more cleanly, reducing power consumption by as much as a factor of 10 compared to silicon.
A tenfold power reduction is a massive leap. How does this specifically affect US and European technology manufacturers?
For US and European chip designers and equipment manufacturers, this is a paradigm shift. It's a threat to anyone whose business is entirely optimized for silicon fabrication, but it's a huge opportunity for companies that make manufacturing equipment for new materials, like atomic layer deposition systems, and for fabless design firms that can create novel chip architectures that leverage the unique properties of 2D materials.
While the Western consortium is working on this, we also saw a major development out of China in a related field.
We did.
On July 24th, Fudan University announced in the journal Science that they've developed a 2D single electron quantum flash memory device. Crucially, it achieves stable, non-volatile storage of a single electron at room temperature, a feat previously thought to require extreme cold.
So they're not just chasing, they're potentially leapfrogging in memory technology. What should Western trading and tech distribution companies know?
They need to understand that the semiconductor supply chain is about to bifurcate. There will be the legacy silicon chain and a new emerging 2D materials chain. Sourcing high-purity MoS2 and other transition metal dichalcogenides will become critical. They must track the companies, like IMEC, that are solving the integration challenges of putting these new materials into existing manufacturing processes.
And the bottom line action for executives in the tech sector?
Invest in materials science expertise. Your engineering teams need to understand the physics and fabrication of 2D materials. For investors and C-suite executives, this means directing R&D towards post-silicon technologies. Ignoring this shift is equivalent to a vacuum tube manufacturer ignoring the transistor in the 1950s.
From the incredibly small to the incredibly strong, this week, a report in Science Advances detailed a new alloy that seems to break the fundamental rules of material science.
It addresses the classic strength-brittleness trade-off. Typically, as you make a material stronger, it becomes more brittle, like glass. On July 20th, researchers announced a cobalt-aluminum nanolaminate alloy that is up to 10 times stronger than structural steel while retaining flexibility.
How is that possible? 10 times the strength of steel, but flexible?
The structure is the key. It's a nanolaminate, meaning it's composed of alternating atomic layers of cobalt and aluminum, each just a few nanometers thick. These countless interfaces between the layers act as barriers that stop cracks from propagating, which is what causes brittleness. At the same time, the structure impedes the movement of dislocations, which gives it its immense strength, exceeding 2 gigapascals.
Where would a material like this even be used? This sounds like it's aimed at very high-performance sectors.
Absolutely. This directly affects U.S. and European manufacturers in aerospace, defense, and high-end energy applications. For aerospace, it means stronger, lighter airframes, leading to greater fuel efficiency and payload capacity. For defense, it allows for more resilient armor and structural components. The main challenge now is scaling production from nanoscale layered systems into bulk nanocomposites for industrial use.
What should trading companies and distributors be watching for here?
This is an early stage development, so direct sourcing isn't an option yet. However, they should be tracking the companies and research labs that are working on scaling up production. This involves advanced manufacturing techniques like atomic layer deposition and physical vapor deposition. The first commercial products will likely be high-value, low-volume components. Identifying these niche markets early will be key.
So the actionable insight is about foresight. What should an executive in, say, an aerospace component company be doing today?
They need to task their materials R&D team with evaluating the feasibility of integrating nanolaminates into future product designs. They should start building relationships with the university labs and startups pioneering this technology. This isn't about next quarter's sales. It's about ensuring your company's products aren't obsolete in 5 to 10 years when a competitor starts manufacturing with materials that are 10 times stronger than yours.
Let's turn to life sciences. The success of mRNA COVID vaccines hinged on nanotechnology, specifically lipid nanoparticles, or LNPs, to deliver the fragile mRNA. This week saw new research on making that delivery system even better.
Correct. A study published on July 16th in ACS Applied Materials and Interfaces detailed a new method to stabilize these LNPs. Researchers used what's called cleavable cross-linking of cholesterol within the nanoparticle shell.
Cleavable cross-linking? Can you break that down for us, Troy?
Think of the nanoparticle as a tiny soap bubble carrying the mRNA. In the body, these bubbles can be unstable and aggregate or clump together. The cross-linking acts like internal scaffolding, making the bubble more robust and stable as it travels through the bloodstream. The cleavable part is crucial. Once the nanoparticle reaches its target cell, the acidic environment inside the cell breaks the scaffolding, releasing the mRNA payload. The study showed this new formulation doubled splenic mRNA expression in mouse models.
And the spleen is important for immune-focused therapies. What does a more stable, targeted LNP mean for U.S. and European pharmaceutical manufacturers?
It dramatically expands the design space for mRNA therapeutics beyond vaccines. Manufacturers can now develop more targeted drugs for autoimmune diseases, cancer immunotherapies, and gene therapies that need to reach specific immune cells. It's an opportunity to build a new pipeline of high-value therapeutics. The competitive threat is falling behind in delivery platform technology, which is now just as important as the mRNA drug itself.
And for the supply chain, what should distributors and partners in the pharma space know?
They need to be aware of this new class of smart lipids and excipients used to create these advanced LNPs. Sourcing these highly specialized components will be critical. Partnerships will shift towards companies that can provide not just standard lipids, but entire formulation and delivery systems. We're also seeing new manufacturing methods, like the nanopore-mediated assembly reported by ACS Nano on July 17th, which allows for precise, continuous synthesis of these particles, solving a major production bottleneck.
So the actionable insight for pharma executives?
License or acquire next-generation LNP delivery technology. The value is no longer just in the mRNA sequence, but in the ability to get it to the right place in the body safely and efficiently. If your company's LNP platform is based on 2020 technology, you are already at risk of being leapfrogged.
Let's bring this all together. Troy, looking across a week of major breakthroughs in materials, semiconductors, and nanomedicine, what are the key strategic takeaways for Western executives?
I see three clear themes. First, advanced materials are a commercial reality. The Alston-GMG partnership for graphene and HVAC systems proves that the focus is shifting from pure R&D to industrial application and efficiency gains. The era of pilot projects is giving way to commercial-scale MOUs.
So the message is to engage now or be left behind. What's the second takeaway?
The post-silicon race has officially begun. With Intel, Samsung, TSMC, and imec all investing heavily in 2D transistors, and Fudan University demonstrating room-temperature quantum memory, the technological battlefield for the next decade of computing is being defined right now. This is a fundamental platform shift, not an incremental improvement.
And the third key point?
Platform technology is the new competitive advantage, especially in biotech. The advances in mRNA lipid nanoparticle stability show that the how of delivery is becoming as valuable as the what being delivered. A superior drug is useless without a superior delivery system.
So, to summarize the actions, executives and manufacturing need to be actively testing advanced materials in their products. Tech leaders must invest in material science talent to navigate the transition away from silicone. And pharmaceutical firms must secure next-generation delivery platforms to protect their future drug pipelines.
Exactly. This week wasn't about incremental science. It was about foundational shifts that will create new market leaders and render old technologies obsolete.
That's all the time we have for this week's briefing. The pace of change is accelerating, and we'll be here to help you make sense of it. For Troy Technical Intelligence, I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
Join us again next week for your strategic update. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. Thank you for listening.